And we are a nation that is hostile to liberty and freedom and faith. We are a nation whose economy is floundering, whose stores are not stocked, whose deliveries are not coming, and whose educational system is ranked at the bottom of every list. We are a nation that in many ways has become a joke. But soon we will have greatness again. It was hardworking patriots like you who built this country, and it is hardworking patriots like you who are going to save our country. There is no mountain we cannot climb. There is no summit we cannot reach. There is no challenge we cannot beat. There is no victory we cannot have. We will not bend. We will not break. We will not yield. Ever, ever, ever. We will never give in. We will never give up. And we will never, ever back down. We will never let you down. As long as we are confident and united, the tyrants we are fighting do not stand even a little chance. Because we are Americans, and Americans kneel to God and God alone. And it is time to start talking about greatness for our country again.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to everyone that's tuning in from wherever you're watching. It's October 8th, 2022, and welcome to the Saturday edition of the Great Steak Breakfast, episode 3. I'm Roan. Noah's here.
Yo.
Alan Jacoby, the host of The Great Divide, has joined us.
Good morning.
Before we get started, though, we can't forget to mention some of our partners. If you think there's no correlation between the FBI, the best night's sleep you've ever owned, and cheeseburgers, you might be wrong.
Cheeseburgers.
Because when you enter promo code steak at checkout, you're going to get big savings at MyPillow. Go support Mike Lindell, the apparatus known as the MyPillow family. Get that good night's sleep taken care of. MyPillow.com/steak is the website. You're in the Patriot Cigar Company. Alan's launched his newest business venture. We've got that extremely aged Nicaraguan tobacco. It's going to give you quite a smoke, to say the least. You're going to get 15% off there when you enter promo code to take a checkout as well. $100. You're going to get an e-gift card for your next purchase with every order. And orders over $100, free shipping.
Free.
MyPatriotCigar.com is the website. Check them out as well. How are you guys doing? Noah, what's up?
Doing the thing again. Hi, everybody.
Alan?
It's Saturday, October 8th. We're 30 days from the midterms.
We sure are. And Alan was talking about wanting to touch on the midterms. We had a big show yesterday, Battleground edition of our podcast, Steak for Breakfast. We hosted Kerry Lake, Doug Mastriano, running in two of the hottest governor races in the country. In addition, we had Max Miller, former Trump administration official, who's looking to walk in Ohio 7, and Sandy Smith, also Trump endorsed. And she's running in North Carolina 1. Great race there. She primaried like a 40-year incumbent and earned the endorsement of Donald Trump. And she's looking to help make Congress great again. I was thinking about what clips to play. One that didn't make our cut yesterday, but I think is just appropriate because Alan's a huge fan. Let's listen to Crazy Nancy Pelosi. She jumped out with Stephen Colbert the other night and talked about the midterms.
Prediction for the election that's a little bit more than a month away. Madam Speaker, you have the floor.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay.
That's a question because I believe that we will win the hold the House. And we will hold the House.
Hold the House.
By winning more seats. We won the 40 seats. Then we lost some when Trump was on the ballot. We lost some in the Trump districts. But we held enough seats to hold the House with him on the ballot. He's not on the ballot now. Oh, did I say his name? I didn't mean to.
Come on.
Surprisingly not hammered.
Yeah. She seems very lucid.
Videotapes fumigated.
Perhaps you could bleep that out.
No worries. Okay.
That giddy laugh.
But what gives you the confidence to do that? Because all the prognosticators, certainly 6 months ago, they said it was going to be this crazy red wave. Mm-hmm. Now it looks likely that the Democrats will hold the Senate, but there is still a slight favor for the Republicans to take the House.
Well, okay. So you ready?
Always.
Okay. Here's the thing. Ready? When we won in 2020, and again, fewer seats, but still holding the House, we started right away to prepare for the next election in terms of organization, own the ground when you mobilize.
And cheating.
Own the voting machines.
You have to do that with inspiration and how we put together our messaging. And that's the second M. And the third is money. So we're getting ready for the election. That was in December of 2020. In January 6th, you know what happened.
An insurrection
incited by the president.
I thought she meant insider stock trading.
On our democracy. The greatest influx of candidates came forward. Young people, people of color, people of different generations, different backgrounds.
To pick the crops, Nancy.
Diversity of America.
Generation?
Came forward. Hmm. They didn't pay attention to those pundits who said you can't win. They went in with courage and confidence that they could win.
Oh.
So when Roe v. Wade came down, boom, we were totally ready.
We fundraised on that like crazy.
A whole different attitude on the part of some.
Sorry to ruin everybody's morning.
What is your prediction?
When she said hold the house, you know what popped into my head? That part in The Wizard of Oz where like the witch's feet curl up and she's like the house is on top of her. That's just, I just thought she meant like holding the house up like while her feet curl up.
That's how it'd be. Future ambassador to Italy there, Nancy Pelosi, is be her new post.
I feel like Italy's not going to like her much the way that their management's going right now.
Especially what she brought to the beaches there last time she went. You know, we've never really talked about it on the show. But listen, I listen to all the shows that Adam or that Alan goes on, and he's got a little bit of an infatuation with him, don't you, Alan?
Oh, he loves milkers.
You know, I have this going back and forth with James Curry from We the People Radio on like Mondays and Fridays, and it disgusts him that I said, listen, Nancy Pelosi, since that beach photo, she's disgusting and vile, but I want to see them. I want to see Nancy Pelosi's breasts. It's not a sexual infatuation or anything. It's just, listen, they're big and disgusting, and when it's like a circus freak show, like you can't look away.
20-inch long nipples.
Those
nipples are going to be bigger than any of your cigars that you have.
I'm imagining that Nancy Pelosi's nipples look like an ashtray that a bunch of cigarettes have been put out in. And James goes crazy with me and calls me disgusting. But then I caught him because he was on the phone with me and his girlfriend was in the background. And I said, ask your girlfriend right now if she wants to see Nancy Pelosi's boobs. And he asks her and she goes, yeah, absolutely, I want to see him. So shut up, James. Everybody wants to see Nancy Pelosi's breasts. That's it.
I don't. Certainly don't.
Yeah, I'm good.
We refer to them on Steak for Breakfast as America Last Milkers. Certainly are.
They are. There's nothing nice about them. There's nothing. She's disgusting. She's a disgusting, vile creature. But if you had, I don't know, anyone would not take the chance if she was, hey, look at these. You wouldn't look. What, would you look away? Really? No.
I think it would be like watching a car crash. You just can't.
Exactly. You can't look away. You can't look away. It's a freak show. You got to look. You got to look to say you didn't. It's just, you know, disgusting.
Moving on, I don't know if you guys saw, we covered it a little bit on our show.
You motorboating son of a bitch. Yep.
Some of the conservative non-political entities that have been activated over the last week or two, namely, and probably most famous, Elon Musk and Kanye West. It looks like Elon Musk is definitely going to be the new owner of Twitter, and it looks like, based off of some of the internal communications that have been leaked, everything from him and the current CEOs, text messages to Zoom calls where everybody's screaming and crying, literally.
Do we watch those?
Well, there's lots of montages of them online.
Employees having complete meltdowns that Elon Musk is going to be, you know, this big conservative supporter. And you know, let's just get in. Elon Musk is not right wing. We know that.
No, he's not
right wing.
And if you want to complain about all this stuff, why don't you just move to Canada like you said you were going to when Trump won?
The way I feel about Elon Musk is I think he's someone who he's not like the robotic NPC like all the rest of the radical progressive left are, especially those in like Hollywood and prominent business owners and stuff where they all just agree with the same narrative. And he's kind of dealing with the situation of like, okay, like I usually toe the party line, but I really don't agree with this. And when I talk about it, everyone's mean to me. And he's so rich and so spoiled and such an introvert that I think like he's doing what he's doing as part of like a natural reaction for someone who's like, when the NPC finally takes off the face and stops parroting the narrative, because they obviously, he knows some of the things that are happening. especially with the way people are being censored across social media. You know, we've seen it all the way up to like literally the Department of Justice and federal law enforcement, you know, going and intimidating the CEOs of these companies to not do things that are, you know, violations of the Constitution. I think he moral compassly might feel inclined to maybe intervene a little bit because, listen, we all know he wants to put microchips in our head and hook us up to the collective. But
yeah, he's really interesting. Like he'll go off and be like, AI is like the most dangerous threat that humanity faces. But then he builds a T-1000. Mm-hmm. Right. I'm like, you just literally built a robot. Like,
yeah, I think it's interesting. One of the biggest pundits, strongest voices out there, and definitely one of the largest brains, Darren Beatty, has been, you know, kind of providing commentary on this. And you know, even if you don't agree with the Elon Musk helping to make social media possibly great again narrative, Darren Beatty sees it in a different way. Kind of a, you know, well, I pulled a clip from it. He was on War Room yesterday. Jack Posobiec host. Thankfully, we don't have to listen to him, but let's hear Darren.
The other side, though, what if he's successful? What if, dare we ask the question, he's actually successful in restoring freedom of speech?
Well, if he pulls it off, and I've said this, and it would be, I would say, I will go out on a limb and say it, if he actually pulls it off, which is a tremendous if, it's a huge if, it will be more significant than the 2016 presidential victory of Trump, which I think is enormously significant. This will be more significant than that because it's a precondition for future political victories. It's a precondition for everything. That's why the speech on the internet is so essential. And the regime is smart enough that the, literally the day after Trump won in 2016, the entire C-suite of Google basically came together and said, we can't have this free internet thing anymore.
Precisely right, Darren.
Yeah, so it's a big...
I was so confused when that music started. Is it me?
I was wondering, is something ringing in the background? I think that was Jack Posobiec's pocket rocket alarm going off.
There you go. I think at the end of the day, listen, if the band are allowed to return and the things that people don't like to read online are allowed to come back, I think we've won just enough to where we've become so conditioned to understand, like, there are just, like, you have to be fringe. I'll give you a good example. You know, we're doing a live show today. We're on Facebook, Rumble, Getter, but there's like a couple other things. Like Alan tells me all these places that they go live, places like some of our friends go live. I've never even heard of these things before. Oh, if you want people to see it, or you know, you want to, and I'm just like, no, why can't we go live on Twitter? Why can't we go live on Instagram? Alan lost one of his Instagram accounts last week and for no reason, no warning, no strikes. You went to log in and your account was nuked.
Yep.
And obviously someone didn't like something you posted, or you hurt somebody's feelings on another platform and they saw you had a platform on Instagram and now you don't have that account anymore for no reason, no valid reason. And even though you you go and write the protest reply to it and appeal it, they don't give a shit. They don't get back to you.
They don't even air. They don't answer the appeal. We'll get back to you in 24 hours. Yeah, that was over a week ago. They didn't get back to me. You know, we have to use these platforms as tools. They're necessary evil. You know, even, you know, we're live on Facebook and I get thousands of views on the shows on Facebook, which, you know, thank God for you people on Facebook. So hit the share button and so more people can see it, because my Facebook following is great, every single one of them. And then you have platforms like CloudHub, which I only used to stream on, but, you know, get maybe 700 to 1,000 views on there per episode without even anybody even like following me on there. I don't even know how it works. Hence the reason why I started the Patriot Podcast Network on Roku TV, like internet television, just so shows like mine, yours, and the other, you know, whatever it is, 24 or 25 others that get nuked off YouTube can't be there because, you know, they speak the truth or have an opinion and they YouTube doesn't like it. So now, you know, Patriot Podcast Network, if you have a Roku device or a Roku compatible smart TV, just download the Patriot Podcast Network. You'll see us live now. You'll get Steak for Breakfast, We the People Radio, so many others, and won't have to worry about them getting taken down, because I'm not taking them down. And unless Roku TV says we can't have a certain show, well, then that's when I make other arrangements. But so far, it's smooth sailing. And we struggle. You guys are shadow banned on Instagram so much. And
everywhere.
Yeah, everywhere. And, you know, you guys put out an episode and it gets, well, I was mentioning you guys on my show on Wednesday, how you've gone through so many Instagram accounts. And a lot of times what ends up happening is because you have amazing guests from the former Trump administration, you'll get one of them on the show. They'll retweet or they'll retruth your episode. Well, not retruth, because you don't have to worry about there.
Yeah, it gets us on the radar.
Yeah, and all of a sudden you're on the radar. And, you know, I remember when your last Twitter account got nuked for no reason. And just prior to that, I believe one of your episodes kind of went viral on there because it got retweeted a lot of times from high profile people. And it's just going to get worse. I mean, I think that my Instagram account, because it was reaching a lot of people, they maybe got caught in the supposed audit of accounts that are getting far reaches. And we're going in, you know, again, we're 30 days from the midterms. And it's probably after the midterms, once Nancy Pelosi, we win the House, you dumb twat. Now we're going to be going into the presidential election. How many accounts are we going to lose into 2024?
Yeah, I have a feeling we're going to. I hate to say it, we're going to lose something.
Oh, I think in the next 30 days, we'll lose some accounts.
Yeah.
So, you know, and you were referencing some of our shares. Amanda Milia seems to be Twitter's not a huge fan of her, because whenever she either shared our show, she would cut like an audio clip and put like a static image, you know, and share it online and tag us, like our account. We literally shared nothing except like a lot of our media on our accounts. And it would just be gone the next day. Open up the app, white screen. Right. So we're on our 12th Twitter right now, 5th Instagram, first True Social, which is the only place we have traction. However, you know, they've ran into some issues themselves. I don't know if you guys had heard, just this week, the app was finally added to the Samsung store, but Google Play is still not allowing it to join their platform. We're talking about, you know, 60 million potential new signups for that. And it's just not good to see, like... Yeah. They don't want that opportunity for people to get on there and have like the, you know, the chance to participate in free speech and open dialogue.
Unfettered access to information. Yeah. They don't like that.
Right.
John Fettered men.
John Fetter woman.
Well, there you go.
That's not going to go that far.
Hobo. Well,
he called himself John Fetter woman. He held up a shirt. He was a John Fetter woman.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. He did. Yeah. He was at a rally. I'm John Fetter woman. Yeah.
And remember,
what does that even mean?
The Eagles are better
retarded Trek.
Than the Eagles.
He's retarded Trek. That's what he is. Uncle Festerman. That's
all
what
right.
He is.
Speaking of complete retards, Joe Biden has been making the rounds. He's had a busy week. They've put him back and forth on a plane from D.C. to Puerto Rico, D.C. to Florida. Then he went from Florida to Delaware yesterday. He was on the beach after seeing DeSantis down there in the Sunshine State as they start the rebuilding process from Hurricane Ian.
And I want to get his dry cleaning bill.
No, you don't.
No, I mean, I don't want to like get it. Like, here's the bill you have to pay.
I want to know who's in charge of emptying the diaper genie.
Like, you got to figure, like, when they're loading up Air Force One, there's got to just be like some dude with a pallet jack that's in charge of pants.
Do you think when they say that, he's like, I'm loading up Air Force One, too. Must have one of the best steamers in the game.
Mm.
So he had a speaking event last night.
Cleveland steamer?
Oof. It wasn't in Cleveland. But listen, he got this party started the only way Joe Biden could. Listen to this one. It's definitely a heater and probably one of the newest we're adding to his repertoire.
Let me start off with two words. Made in America. Made in America.
One, two, three.
Maybe he meant like America. Made in America, that's like the Statue of Liberty. Is that what they're trying to?
You know how the Atlantic is like the
fucking Jesus.
So they have the Pacific Twitter Stan account, and they already put MAIDEN America.
That's because, you know, he was raised in a Puerto Rican community running the streets with corn pop. His education isn't too well. That's why he said made in America was two words and not the actual correct number.
Well, he's okay to, I mean, technically he's okay to say that because obviously math is racist. So
math is racist.
He's defying the standards. Therefore, it's the exact opposite. Like, he's so stunning and brave.
Stunning and brave.
Surprisingly enough, though, and he was, I don't know where this was, but there was no teleprompter because he was operating off papers that he was messing with the whole time. This was a stump speech and focused heavily on the midterm elections.
Smuggle in a leaf blower and just blow all that shit out of his hands.
Well, he was knocking him off the podium himself. He wasn't talking specifically about races right now, but he was hitting the Republican Party pretty hard. Let's hear about some of the people he named from the other side of the aisle.
I saw there's a report. You guys can, as they say, as my grandkids say, Google it. But report that came out from CNN and says Republicans call Biden infrastructure program socialism. And then they ask for the money. And it goes through all of Republicans, who the most conservative Republicans, who call it socialism and how they're asking for it. A guy named Paul Gosar, he's written three separate letters to the administration asking for projects in his district. He says it enhanced the quality of life, that ease congestion, boost the economy. Voted against it, says it's all socialism. Go down the list. Kentucky Representative Andy Barr, the biggest socialist agenda. Three different projects he wants, studying the importance of safety and growth of his district. Rand Paul, I go down the list. Look it up.
Oh, he makes no sense.
What does that even mean?
Socialist Republicans. Think about it. I'm serious.
Think about it.
Let's get serious about it.
Let's get serious about it.
Come on, man.
Regular people like I grew up.
Regular people. Poor people.
So, look, you can't make this stuff up. You got to say, and I got to say, I was surprised to see so many socialists in the Republican caucus.
It's almost alliteration there.
This guy, is he kidding right now? So
your socialist agenda, yes, okay, that is basically what you're doing. But you're also the person that these people have to come to try to get these projects going, like
that the taxpayers are paying for.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're paying for it.
I bet if somebody asked for a gulag, you'd probably give it to them.
That's what I don't get about it. You know, take Florida for instance with the hurricane and the federal aid. And now you have Democrats out there saying, look, you know, Ron DeSantis and all the Republicans, they have their hands out for all of that government assistance. Well, assholes, the people of Florida who pay their taxes because they work are entitled to that aid. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's not socialism. They're paying for it. The idiot that's sitting home stuffing his face with fucking Hot Pockets in his mother's basement playing Xbox, doing absolutely nothing, accepting government checks. Yeah. He's not paying taxes. He's sitting there sucking off the government teat because that's what the Democrats want in their plan. Socialism, rely on the government. So again, the narrative and the spin going into elections. Oh, look, socialist Republicans and all of the idiots on the left will eat it up going nom, nom, nom. Joe Biden, CNN. Eat shit and die.
I got a good CNN one, but it's going to be for our last audio clip of the show today.
Do you ever think when we like his tirade about the Hot Pocket eaters, like, do you ever think that there might just be somebody somewhere that just happens to be listening? Like, they're on our side, but like, we just literally just summed up their entire existence right now. And they're just sitting there like Xbox controller in hand, Hot Pocket on the table in front of their mouth open, like looking at the what
do they have a job though? If they're on our side, I'd imagine maybe they're doing that in their free time. Nothing against eating Hot Pockets and wearing a knit hat on mommy's stained couch in the attic, as long as you're working at least 8 hours a day. If you're not and you claim to be a conservative on our side, then reevaluate your life and do something about it because you're a piece of shit.
Yeah,
you know, he said Paul Gosar.
Yeah.
Dr. Paul Gosar, House Republican from Arizona, he's running his third race on November 8th. So he's been in Congress for two terms already, and Joe Biden doesn't even know his fucking name.
This guy, Paul,
Paul Gosar.
He doesn't know what members of Congress die. Where's Jackie? Anybody see Jackie?
He was looking for Liz yesterday down in Florida.
What if he's like, where's Jackie? Let's dig her up.
Mm. Let's dig her up. She's a Republican socialist.
That joke really crashed fast. Oof. Got him. he did also kind of continue on about a lot of the issues that, well, he caused and tried to pin them on Republicans. Let's hear him fumble through a little bit more of that.
Folks, here's the bottom line. Republicans take control of the Congress. These historic victories we just won for the American people are going to be taken away.
Oh.
Every kitchen table cost is going to go up, not down.
Wait, what?
And I realized costs are going up on food. And I was able to bring gasoline down well over $1.60, but it's inching up because of what the Russians and the Saudis just did.
Inching
I'm not
up.
Finished with that yet.
You're not
Jesus
finished.
Christ.
Cost your prescription drugs and healthcare, energy. They'll all go up. Your protection of pre-existing conditions are taken away. Your Social Security and Medicare are going to be in a chopping block.
All the government handouts are going to go away.
You know, I was talking about it yesterday, and I thought in the back of my mind, so they did student loan forgiveness. On Thursday, they announced that they're going to be doing the marijuana forgiveness. Okay, so you're going to have...
So are they just going to let people out of jail?
Over 7,000 convicted felons are in jail right now who are going to be eligible for that program on its launch. That's not everybody that's getting out. That's the initial numbers.
I hope they're going to address like the minutia of these people's cases too, because there's a lot of people that like maybe they're pleading down from another higher thing. It's like, all right, well, we're going to let you off on this part, but just like, you know.
But I also heard, hold on, you said 7,000 people might be eligible to be released. We're talking federally, right, Roan?
Yeah.
But here's the thing. There was also a report, and it could be inaccurate, that there are not that many people with only the single charge of marijuana possession or use in federal custody.
Oh, yeah, that's an add-on for sure.
So if that's the case, they can pardon that. But they're not going to be released if they have other charges. Here's my whole outlook on this. It is a desperate attempt to buy votes, because the whole second part of that is to pressure governors in red and blue states. And obviously the blue state governors will probably go along with it, obviously, because, hey, this is what the president's doing federally, to pardon those people on a state level with the marijuana possession and use convictions, and pardon them. This way they can say, hey, look what the Democrats did for us. Let's go out and vote. Yep. Let's do it now, because you're more of a chance to get people with those single charges or convictions rather on a state level than federally. They know that it's not going to affect a lot of people federally, and a lot of people are not going to be released out of federal prisons because they don't have that as a single charge. They'll still be held for something else, whether maybe it's intent to sell or distribute or other things. But I think this is meant for the governors in blue states to go ahead and give pardons for these people who may have that single charge and then get them out. So now they can vote and just more rigging and lying and cheating and stealing. And this is just, you can smell the desperation in the air. But again, they have the best policies, and the president, who is now bringing down gas prices after the Democrats say that the president has no power of gas prices when they were hiking them up. It's all bullshit. And people that aren't realizing this, I'm sorry, but you really have to reevaluate your place in society if you belong or not.
Might want to get some Hot Pockets.
I want to get some Hot Pockets and buy a new knit hat.
Right now, Tina's burritos are like the best piece still. No, it's
great. I like the El Monterey personally.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
So the student loan forgiveness and this marijuana, I don't know, unconviction act,
yeah,
that he's proposing now, I honestly think their last ploy heading into the midterms right here is going to propose more stimulus after the midterm elections, just in time for the holiday season.
Well, it's about time we get some money, I guess. Mm. Not that I'll get any, but yeah, we don't count. Just in general.
Yeah. But I think that's one of the aces in their hole that they're going to start talking about very soon. And it's going to be interesting to see how people react. You know, you have all this stuff going on. We've been talking about it on our show for the last week or so. It's like the underlying tones of the news cycle that no one's really talking about except in like our corners of the universe. And that's, you know, we have that whole thing going on between Russia and Ukraine. I don't know if you guys saw just overnight last night, the only bridge that connects Russia to Crimea was bombed by a gas tanker. And
it's the bridge that was in True Lies.
Yeah, it was.
Right.
And it was obviously a car bomb, a truck bomb, and the damage is extensive, really bad. And, you know, this comes, what, like less than 10 days after the Nord Stream 1 and 2 pipelines were obviously bombed.
And wasn't it like the day after Putin's birthday, like 70th birthday or something?
I wouldn't be surprised, but
I mean, it was.
You had Vladimir Zelensky on a Zoom call that was recorded and put all over social media like 2 days ago. On Thursday, where he's calling on NATO leadership to launch preemptive strikes in Ukraine against Russia to eliminate the possibility of a Russian nuclear strike in his country.
Right.
And I the way he comes off, it's like,
I'm not an expert, but that seems like a bad plan.
Seems like an awful plan.
Yeah.
For like everyone.
That's how you trigger the bomb.
Hey, you know, it's funny. Russian state media has been pumping out their, I believe it's 1961. It's a little dated video of the largest nuclear bomb that was ever tested on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And that made the rounds around social media this week. And just the perspective of that is just absolutely ridiculous. I don't know what these people are thinking about. We played a clip on our show yesterday of Ambassador Rick Grenell. He was on Rob Schmidt's show on Newsmax and was talking about the one thing that's been missing from this entire narrative from day one is any kind of diplomacy. It's like something happens, they just blame each other. And yes. Like when anyone postures at each other, everyone else that's involved is like, fuck it, posture. I'll posture right back. Even harder.
Mm-hmm.
And we're literally at blowing up gas lines, supply routes, and
they're acts of war in a sense.
Yes. What I'm trying to say is there's very few places we can go now between where we're at today and nuclear war. It's really crazy how, you know, we're right there.
Mm-hmm.
So there's zero diplomacy going on behind the scenes. That we've already had like two or three peace deals that have been completely nixed on behalf of this administration here in the United States. And, Boris Johnson killed one and the NATO leadership killed the one that Turkey had proposed earlier.
Right.
And the only way that this ends without any more people dying that need to is if Russia takes what they have currently and walks, and Ukraine takes all the money that we're giving them and rebuilds, and that's it.
And if that happens, once they rebuild, we're going to give them more money to rebuild. We'll probably finance the whole thing. Do you think, I mean, obviously worst case scenario is some whack job with a power trip decides to, you know, do some sort of strike. And I believe Zelensky was asking NATO, NATO countries to do the launch a preemptive strike against Russia, which, remember his NATO application was denied. But with all of this happening and the threats and the posturing, I mean, obviously, I think everybody would like to think that a nuclear strike from anybody on anybody would not happen because that individual who wants to press that big red nuke button has to know that this is it. This is it for you. Like it's over. Your life is over. And I don't believe that Putin wants that because, I think he's the richest man in the world and he likes his life and his control and all of his perks. And I don't think he's ready to give that up. And it's all penis envy. But I don't know. What do you guys think about that? What do you guys think about just the real possibility of somebody saying, hey, fuck it. This is I'm launching something.
Well, with the amount of nuclear weapons that Russia has, like if you look at the bar graph of their actual stockpile of military weapons, it's pretty huge. So, I mean, hypothetically speaking, you get somebody that goes off on their own and has access to this stuff, it could get wild. But people need to realize that we're not in the stage of war where there's, you need a B-52 to fly into the country to drop these things off anymore. They have those like what supersonic fucking weapons now and shit like that. They get here in 15 minutes or some shit like that. I don't even remember.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty.
Like, do we have anything that'll get there that fast? Cause
I don't know. We listened to audio on our show earlier in the year where Matt Gaetz accused Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin being years behind on hypersonics.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Lloyd Austin had no defense for that.
He just put on more lipstick.
Yeah, he said, how dare you make fun of me?
He started filing his nails.
Yep, exactly.
Well, here's another scenario, too, because, you have Joe Biden talking about the Armageddon and the highest nuclear threat since the Cuban Missile Crisis, and all that stuff. Just like, January 6th was the biggest attack on our democracy since 9/11. And do you think this could be, now again, we have 30 days to the midterm, and they're starting to talk more about the nukes and the Armageddon and the high risk of nuclear attacks. You think this might be something to really put fear into Americans when we get really close? Not saying like a conspiratorial thing or even a false flag, but something where, hey, it's going to interfere with our elections come November 8th because of the fear that they want and they're going to manufacture to put into Americans.
I don't put it past them. I definitely think that, you know, that'd be the biggest October surprise of them all, to be honest with you. But
makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And it takes away from, you know, the kitchen table issues that are really at the forefront right now, especially the economy. We saw another horrible day yesterday, pretty much across the board. The Dow Industrial was down over 500 points or almost 2%. The S&P fell over 2%. And the NASDAQ, you know, composite completed the absolute shit show of a day, down 3 full percentage points. So for those of you playing at home, probably 10K to wherever the ceiling is for you in regards to your investment portfolios, off the playing table again, as we hurtle towards $9 trillion of American wealth lost since Joe Biden took office.
How's your 401k's doing, boys?
I don't look.
I stopped. I stopped. I mean, it's insanity. I was literally just going to go on my app now, but I don't want to cry. You know, it's unbelievable.
Well, in addition to the economy and inflation, crime is at the top of the ticket on a lot of things that people are talking about for the midterm elections. I was pretty funny yesterday to see an impromptu press conference and grift for money from America Last Mayor Eric Adams of New York City, talking about, believe it or not, in a city that's supposed to be one that is sanctuarious, it not being his problem anymore. Let's hear an audio clip from him.
New Yorkers are angry. I am angry too. We have not asked for this. There was never any agreement to take on the job of supporting thousands of asylum seekers. This responsibility was simply handed to us without warning as buses began showing up. There's no playbook for this.
Kind of like when we have to give our tax dollars to take care of it.
Hey,
I didn't ask for that.
There's no playbook, no precedent for it.
Oh, president or precedent?
Precedent.
So now he's crying. He's crying about migrants coming from because Governor Abbott sent
by
a bunch
bus load.
A bus
by
load.
The busload. By the busload.
And some of them got fat asses.
and the ones that got off the bus, as they were getting off the bus, telling people, we want to get out of New York City. We don't, illegal aliens, we don't want to be in New York City. Get us the hell out of here.
They get out and they're like, man, this is a bigger shithole than the place I came from.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, I thought I'd seen all the shitholes.
So not only that, but then go back, what, like, I think it was October of 21, where he turned around and he said, yeah, we should protect our immigrants, period. Yes, New York City will remain a sanctuary city under an Adams administration. And now even Kathy Hochul, I believe, is activated the National Guard to deal with literally the 0.003% of illegal aliens that are coming to New York to help process them. I mean, you know, it's happening in Chicago. Beetlejuice there is we can't handle all these people. DC, we can't handle all these people. Our homeless shelters are overrun. Well, you know what? Maybe we should close the borders.
Oh, no, it's definitely something that's going to be on the docket come January of next year. You know, we had a couple amazing candidates on, not just yesterday, but over the last couple of weeks, who are all still really, you know, high strung on wanting impeachment on the table for Merrick Garland, Alejandro Mayorkas, the head of DHS, and Joe Biden for the way that they've absolutely destroyed this country over the course of the last 2 years. I think the border would be in a second article of impeachment for Joe Biden after Afghanistan, and obviously Article 1 for Alejandro Mayorkas. This is all, you know, goes in line with the fact that the cabinet members don't step down, because we all know that none of them are going to get a consensus vote to invoke the 25th Amendment. But the fact that, listen, the blame has to stop or has to end somewhere. You have to be able to pin this on people, and it's just these policies that are This administration itself so far has spent $7 trillion in wasteful spending with the Green New Deal and the Inflation Non-Reduction Act. At the end of the day, it gets that number up to like $130 trillion if they're able to execute like this master plan for everything. And that would be the destruction of the middle class. That would be the complete, destruction of the infrastructure, the heartland of this country. And that's just something that we have to stop from happening. It doesn't come with fake insurrections. It doesn't come with, people going out and saying they want to do everything. It comes out with the people who are listening to this show, being involved in their community, being involved in their election, and getting as many people as they can legally, obviously, to the ballot box on November 8th.
It's important. And Ron DeSantis was just making a comment about the first time I heard it. I actually saw a clip this morning because I've been talking about it since the hurricane, about now I feel like Florida is going to be very vulnerable and a hotbed for election integrity issues and corruption, because I believe you're going to have nefarious individuals from out of state come to Florida because of the devastation, and hoping that they are, if they need them, the temporary polling places for people to be able to have access to voting, which is very important, because again, Florida, it's not a big giant landslide for Ron DeSantis in the governor election. We have a lot of important congressional and Senate races that people need access. And I think that we're going to see a lot of people from out of the state of Florida come to Florida to try to interfere with the election process. And Ron DeSantis mentioned something about, well, first he joked around and he said, oh, I don't know, when's the election, November 7th or 8th? I'm too busy doing this, with all of the planning and emergency response he's got going on. But it sounds like he's not really talking about it, but it sounds like there's things going on behind the scenes to assure that there are easy access to elections in Florida, and that they're going to be watched very carefully. I'm a little concerned about Florida and their elections because of the aftermath of the hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a 100% valid point. I think Ron DeSantis is going to win his reelection for governor in Florida by a little bit more of a comfortable margin, probably north of 5% at least, than he did, 5 years ago. But the fact of the matter is, when you have things like natural disasters, I mean, listen, they're having crime issues down there because they've busted and flown in a whole bunch of illegal immigrants from New York, Chicago, and Washington, D.C. to head the cleanup efforts down there, and they're breaking into people's homes.
Right. Right.
So
looting them. They're supposed to be making $15. From what I understood, a bunch came from Florida, coming from New York, mostly from Venezuela, to make $15 an hour to do the cleanup efforts. They get $15 a day for meal allowance. And they're you have them down there looting and stealing houses. And then you have people trying to clean up their homes. And I saw something from it was on Instagram. Was it Conservative Ant, who's down there in Florida, who lives there, and he's been working every day with various organizations, giving aid to people. And he made a video the other day about how now FEMA is going into people's homes who are trying to clean up their homes and throwing them out of their own homes, saying, no, you can't be here. They're dangerous. They're unsafe. They're not structurally sound, and putting them out on the streets and basically struggling to give them any type of shelter. I mean, I don't know how true it is, but I heard it from another source also, and it doesn't surprise me because they were doing that for Hurricane Sandy too, on Long Island. FEMA was saying, you can't even stay in your home, you can't be in your home to get belongings, and again, maybe that'll galvanize people to realize that how corrupt the federal government is, and this current regime, to the importance of in 30 days to get to the polls to make sure you're voting. Me and James were talking about it yesterday, and he was calling me a cynical prick because James made a point where now that this devastation happened, the people have lost everything, their homes and their belongings, that the furthest thing from their mind now, possibly for a lot of people, could be going to vote. And that's a problem. Obviously, I get you lost your house, you lost your belongings. And my message last night when I on the show was screw your house and screw your belongings. They're replaceable. Get your ass to the election polls and vote, because there's no certainty that certain freedoms and rights will still be in place if the Democrats keep control. And people have to just realize what's really important. And it's only 30 days away, people.
Mm. The first step to protect yourself from looting to get vaccinated. The looters need to get vaccinated.
Wait, I'm sorry, Mr. Looter. Are you vaccinated? Yes, you can come in and loot. Oh,
yeah. Fantastic.
And you know what?
Help yourself to my blood thinners.
Basement's just dropped another banger right now. I just saw it.
Who's that?
Joe Basements. Have you ever heard of him before?
Joey Bay, yeah.
Eatery just launched.
As opposed to Joey Bag of Donuts.
You support law enforcement if you can't condemn what happened on January the 6th. Don't tell me that.
I got stuck.
You best not tell him that. That's where we're at. That's new off the Joe Biden official account just launched.
What a douchebag.
Don't you tell him that. Hey, listen. We got a lot of stuff going on. I did want to let everyone that's listening today listen. We're talking about the importance of the midterms. It is a great way to start pumping the brakes on everything bad that's going on in this country. But a couple of things you need to realize. Every single person that ran in every single race that you might have wanted to see get over the finish line in a few weeks may not have made it. But we're in the territory right now where we're trying to stack chips and stack chips only. Yep. Regardless who the nominee is on the Republican side, it's time to, if you live in their district or, you're voting them for them as a senator in your state or in governor's races, it's time to get out there and check those boxes for the Republican Party, because obviously you see what's going on right now over the course of the last 2 years, whether it be in the wallet, at the gas pumps, your kids' education, crime, geopolitics, foreign and domestic policy. It's not working. Obviously the border, and what we really need to do is circle the wagons and rally the troops and hold this down for the next presidential election. We can get to the bottom of a lot of things between now and 2024, but the fact of the matter is we can stop a lot of these radical policies from seeing their final form if we take care of business on November 8th. Two candidates that come to mind. And I know everybody listening today are from all different parts of the country. You have the opportunity right now, two people that really need it. Number one, I think, out of the entire Republican ticket across anywhere in any race, Doug Mastriano.
Mm-hmm.
He alluded to on our show yesterday that besides his grassroots fundraising apparatus and money coming from the Trump Super PAC, MAGA Inc., which launched earlier this week, Doug Mastriano's not getting money from the establishment GOP. They have essentially abandoned him in a race where he's within the margin of error right now in an overwhelming majority of the polls against a radical progressive who lines up ideologically somewhere between like Bernie Sanders and Nancy Pelosi. So that's what you're getting as your governor if you elect 5'3" Josh Shapiro on November 8th.
Mm.
Doug Mastriano needs your 5, 10, 15 bucks, even if you don't live in Pennsylvania. I've sent money to the Mastriano campaign. I live in San Diego.
Yeah.
And, anything helps him out. Same thing with Herschel Walker right now. We had called it early, over a month ago, where we said that was going to be one of the races, even though, listen, until any of these fake scandals drop, talking about, like, stuff with his family and paying for abortions and all this other BS, I said Herschel Walker's race is one that they're going to try and really, take the wind out of the sails because of how strong of a senator and how well-versed he is, already in policy, small business owner. He's worked with the military, the U.S. House of Representatives and members there. One of the highest ranking members who's, recently retired, Devin Nunes, he told us on our show that they courted Herschel for over a decade to be a House member. And he said he just wasn't ready. Now he's in a Senate race, and where it looked like he would win comfortably, it's going to be a little bit more of a fight. So contributing and helping out his campaign in any way, shape or form, I think would be a big one too. Alan, what are some of the other races, maybe nationally? We saw Blake Masters. People were worrying about him for the last couple of weeks, but now that he's gotten some money dumped back into his advertising, in addition to the fact that he took Mark Kelly to the woodshed the other night in their debate, looks like he's going to be okay between now and November 8th. But what are some of the bigger races, national attention races that you've looked at that you would like to see the candidate get over the finish line?
Well, listen, like you said, Roan, even if we're not 100% on board with the Republican nominee for that race, we do have to realize now it's about stacking chips and getting the numbers in D.C. Case in point, and we've had conversations about this, we'll go back to Pennsylvania, Dr. Oz.
Yep.
It wasn't my favorite in the primary, but he is, he is the nominee. He's Trump endorsed, which I didn't even, really like that. He's the guy that has to get elected. He has a long-term relationship with Donald Trump.
I'm hoping and giving him the benefit of the doubt that he's going to legislate and vote as an America First legislator. We can only hope. So that's one. You know, J.R. Majewski in Ohio's 9th district is he's in a heavy Republican area. His 40, I think she's 40 years, the his opponent, yeah, has launched an unbelievable assault on his military career, on everything. Kevin McCarthy, the rhino piece of garbage that he is, has taken $1 million of advertising away from him. And that's why people, it's important to donate to the candidate and not the national party, because they will use their money for evil, evil things. And he's having a big fundraiser with Trump, I think next week. It's important to get him over the finish line. Listen, it's important to get them all over the finish line. Yeah. And what's also important, as I talk about this now, is, okay, we now have the players. We've given them their jobs. We got them elected. And come January, we'll have the new Congress in. People, the fight doesn't stop. It has just begun. Because now that we have the people in play, we now have to keep our feet on their necks to make sure that they're doing right by Americans, that they're upholding and defending the Constitution of the United States, which 99% of members of Congress violate every single day. We have to keep on them and put the pressure on and make them realize, we put you here, we can take you out. Mm-hmm. You better do what's needed. And enough with these rhinos that are literally willfully trying to sabotage the midterms for America First candidates. We need Joe Kent from Washington State. Absolutely. We need him like no other. We need 20 Joe Kents. We just had last Saturday Peter Hernandez running in California, right? I forget the district, Ron.
Yeah.
But we need him. There are what's her name down in Florida who won in the special election. She has to run again. And she 2 months ago she won. I forget her name. Mayara Flores, is that her?
That's in Texas.
Texas, I'm sorry, Texas. We need to get her over the finish line. And everyone.
Her two, and her two counterparts, Cassie Garcia and Monica De La Cruz. That's Texas, yes. 28, 34, and 15. You make some great points, Alan. And, you know, listen, a dark horse who's surging right now with an immense grassroots and you know, comprehensive ground game is the Granite State, New Hampshire, Don Bullock.
Yeah.
You know, he's within 2.5 points of an incumbent senator after winning, you know, a brutal primary there. And that could be the 53rd seat in the Senate that we take, because Adam Lexalt looks like he's going to be fine in Nevada. Blake Masters is going to now increase his lead in Arizona. Those would be two of the seats that need to get flipped. And then obviously defense this time. You have J.D. Vance in Ohio, Dr. Oz in Pennsylvania, Ted Budd in North Carolina, and a couple others. And just remember, looking forward down the road a piece, you'll have Donald Trump running for president probably in 2024. He'll be traveling as he's campaigning with all of his endorsed tickets, House right. members, governors, senators, where we're only, I think, defending a very few amount of seats. And I think the Democrats are defending like 24 of theirs.
Yeah.
So the attack is going to be on. And people who are looking to get primary, Donald Trump's already put the target on the back of Joe Manchin. Mm-hmm. He's already mentioned Kristen Sinema several times. You know that they're, oh, Ben Sasse, another person who was like, you know, a never Trumper, an impeachment fanatic, someone who publicly went to war and was America last, never voted for MAGA when Donald Trump is office. He's exiting his seat in Nebraska, and he's going to take over as the president of the University of Florida after the new year. So they'll probably have a special election there, or, you know, they'll have the governor of Nebraska appoint somebody, and then, you know, he'll be up in the next election cycle as well. So we see Mitt Romney probably not going to run in Utah. And if he does, I know that the current attorney general, his last name is Reyes, likes Donald Trump, super America First, nationalist vibes. He'll be running in a state like that. But we have to start it now. We have to win back the House so we can add to that victory, in 2024 in the next election cycle, and then really, get back power in the Senate so we can hold Joe Biden and his cabinet members accountable for the last 2 years of what's gone on in this country and beyond.
Absolutely. You know, Ron, I wanted to ask you, and because obviously you and myself, we were team Sabatini down in Florida, and Corey Mills won the primary. And I haven't really followed Corey Mills' campaign and his race, but maybe you have some insight on how he's doing. Is he one that's, you know, looks like he'll have no problem getting over the finish line?
Yeah, I don't know if he's going to be as you know, easily accepted into the – well, I'll put it to you this way. The three of the last house guests that we've had on our show, Joe Kent, Sandy Smith, and Max Miller, were all endorsed in the last week by the House Freedom Caucus, which means there is an extremely great potential for them to be invited to join the caucus. Just getting endorsed by them in your race doesn't mean that you're going to be a House Freedom Caucus member. There's like a whole process. It's like a very inclusive club on Capitol Hill of Real America First. The actual Congress people that travel around with Donald Trump around the country, you know, you see Gates and MTG, Dr. Gosar and people like that. So when Corey Mills, I honestly think he's just going to be an establishment-ish Republican who kind of votes along party lines. Hopefully I'm wrong and he does do a little bit more America First, but you know, he has ties to the military industrial complex and a lot of things, you know, on a global scale, but we'll see what happens. I'm pessimistically optimistic about everybody right now.
I know.
Republican tickets who I wasn't a fan of in the beginning. And Anthony Sabatini did say after the holiday season, he'd be announcing what his next, step is in regards to his, you know, inclusive, running in politics and we'll have to see. So, but like I'm saying, the most important thing is find people. It doesn't matter if they live in your state or not that need help in their races. If, you know, get into the chats and ask, like, I live in this state. Who's a good person to like help support? Who can I go and on the weekends door knock or show up at a town hall for them and ask them the questions that I'm more concerned about.
Right.
And, you know, or message us on social media as we always answer back. Mm-hmm. And, It's one of those things that we really have to, you know, take into account what's at stake here. And like, if you really get up in the morning and look at yourself in the mirror and can honestly say to yourself, I can do this for another 2 years. It's not that bad. There's literally something wrong with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's not saying anything wrong, but I mean, like, we're on the verge of nuclear war for real.
Yeah. Like that's not like just us making a grandiose, like, prediction or comment. Like, we're there.
Yeah
and no one's trying to fear monger. These are the facts. Just look at what's going on, and it's we are weak and everyone is laughing at us. They're all gonna laugh at you. They are laughing at us. We are the laughing stock. Nobody respects us as a country now. In my opinion, we are not a superpower right now. That's how I feel.
MBS Joe Biden asked him to you know, can you help us out with the gas stuff? Just last week, the highest channels of the Biden administration were communicating with Saudi Arabia. And this is just how bad this administration handles geopolitics. They were asking him to help out with the gas stuff. And Saudi Arabia was like, you know, we were going to cut back on 1 million barrels of oil on production starting on October 1st. You know what? We're going to make it 2 million barrels.
Yeah. Fuck you, Joe. That's what they said.
Essentially. And then you want to know what you got everybody in the Biden administration. Now we're on the weekend talk shows. I've already seen John Kirby and somebody else from the administration says, well, maybe we just need to tell Saudi Arabia, we're pulling all of our troops and equipment out. We don't need to protect you anymore. Cause who's going to protect them then? It's going to be China. It's going to be Russia.
Yeah. So we're going to give more shit away.
So that's
they don't care. China will come in and protect them and then have their oil. They'll work out a great deal. They'll work out a great deal. I feel like, again, it's more of this willful sabotage that they want to do because they know that their administration is doomed. And then they're not going to be in the White House. The Democrats aren't going to be in the White House in 2024. And they're doing everything possible to sabotage every avenue. So whoever the Republican president will be, which most likely and hopefully will be Donald Trump, will just have this big pile of shit that they have already, but it'll just be bigger to try to navigate through and get this country back on track.
Yeah, the willful sabotage thing seems reasonable. Like, it seems like that's what they're doing to a certain extent, but you got to remember that, like, China and these countries that are our enemies, like lifelong enemies, like whether or not we play friendly and send them shit and they send us shit and whatever, we make everything there. Their long game is to be the superpower.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily that everybody's in this combined effort to sell us out to China, but all it takes is 1 in 5.
Yeah.
And it's like politicians who are taking money around the corner, they're getting paid off by China, or they're getting paid off by corporations and PACs, which are China, that they don't know are China. And it's their long con. It's just every little inch towards the things happening that they want to have happen.
Right. Roan, really quick before we wrap, I wanted to get, because you had her on your show yesterday, and she's always great to listen to when she speaks, and I didn't get a chance to listen to your show yet. Carrie Lake, running for governor in Arizona. How is her campaign going? What did you get from her yesterday?
She has literally become someone who the media originally tabbed as fringe, outsider, election denier, girl Trump, you name it. She is literally, if you look at it just as a political analyst, she is running the gold standard of campaigns right now.
Yeah.
She doesn't go anywhere without there being hundreds, if not thousands, of people participating in any kind of events that she does. She informed us yesterday that there were several candidates on all of the electable levels this midterm election season, House seats, senators, governors, state level reps, contacting her campaign, asking her how she handles certain things. What are some of the ways and policies that she's pushing off? She's just getting ready to push out her rebranded economic policy for Arizona, because she said as the time and, you know, overall economy in Arizona has changed, her policies had to change to tailor that. So that'll be out next week. And I'll be honest with you, she glows.
She's gifted. Her ability to speak. I mean, I definitely don't have that. Like, you tell me to go build a car or do some other shit like that, I'm good to go. Like, there's a reason why Roan talks mostly in our fucking show.
Well, you're the button pusher.
String together a coherent thought. Like, when I start talking for longer than like a minute and a half, I get out in the weeds and forget what I'm talking about. But she just can literally just archive all this stuff and bring it out. And people know it, like her, Hobbs or whatever her fucking
Katie Hobbs.
Yeah. Like, I mean, Carrie Lake brings a goddamn podium for her, like, everywhere. And like, mm-hmm. the lady never shows up. It's amazing. You just see this Carrie Lake. And then it's just like, what do you think about? Oh, no, she's not here. Sorry.
No, I'll be honest with you. After watching her evolve throughout this campaign cycle, listen, there's going to be a rally in Arizona tomorrow. That campaign is energized right now. I can't wait to see them fresh off the heels of another Trump rally. They're in Nevada tonight for Adam Laxalt and Joe Lombardo. They're going to be in Arizona tomorrow for the entire ticket there. But the fact of the matter is, listen, post Donald Trump, there's a lot of pretty good candidates already starting to rise like the cream to the top right now. When you talk about people like DeSantis and Carrie Lake and yeah, just watching her grow. Like, we're sitting here watching her yesterday and talk. There was nothing that she didn't know, anything that we asked her about. You know, she hit on all the points. Her team that she's working with, you know, her husband's heavily involved, and they have an amazing relationship, apparently. And she's got a lot of young kids who are actually dialed in to the America First stuff. So I really appreciate it. Alan, I did want to say, we need to end on a good note. And
Carrie Lake's not a good note.
Carrie Lake's good, but something great happened yesterday. I don't know if you guys heard, it was the end of an era. After 8 long years of 2 hours a night of fake news, person who usually falls behind us in the audio podcast standings, Don Lemon, said goodbye to his 2 hour news block on CNN primetime and said hello to the 5:30 a.m. breakfast show circuit. I did pull a small clip of the very end of his show, and I don't think there's any better way for us to end this week's episode than to hear this loser say goodbye.
So, listen, the viewers at home, I know I was not always perfect because no one is perfect, because there are immense pressures that come with this job. And in particular, this time slot at 10 o'clock when people are going to bed. So sometimes all I could do, I'm going to be honest with you.
Is waking up better?
Is just smile and just get to the commercial break sometimes. Sometimes it was exhausting.
What?
Because some of the things that we discuss here are so personal and so consuming. What? All consuming. So I hope I made you proud.
No.
And I thank you for tuning in all these years.
Oh.
And I hope that you're going to join me in the morning. I will simply say good night. And I will see you soon.
Oh,
what a
misery embers.
What a fucking loser.
Bye.
I mean,
what? Is he crying?
He was a little teary eyed.
They're filming him walk upstairs.
Yeah.
God, this could have tripped or something. That would have been good. They probably take two, probably.
His show was hot diarrhea.
Yeah. I mean, I guess he's doing better than Brian Stelter. Brian Stelter, they got rid of. Don Lemon, they just put in with two other, you know, ridiculous idiots in the morning.
Brian Stelter was like your midday fat boy that everybody would dunk on whenever he started talking about just rambling shit off. Like
throw that guy in some bib overalls. He's from Deliverance.
Yeah, but he fell right out of CNN and into a job as a professor at Harvard.
I can't even believe that.
No, that's just protecting your own. That's all it is. It's like, yeah, they probably like potatoes at Harvard.
I can't wait till he gets caught having an inappropriate affair with a young college boy.
Yeah. It's going to be one of those people who didn't meet the educational entrance standards either. He was going to be one of those equity hires. Alan, this has been great. We're going to look forward to seeing you again next Saturday. I think we're good on guest hosts this week, but who knows? You might be on Steak for Breakfast either on Tuesday or Thursday because you're usually only a phone call away.
I'm always on call.
Yeah, that's it. I guess we appreciate everybody coming out and taking a watch with us today, and we'll see you next weekend.
Yeah, we'll see you next week, Saturday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific on The Great Steak Breakfast. We'll see you all soon.
Later.